All right, we're on now?
Yep.
There we go. A lot louder. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. Corinthians 5. All right. So you guys know what voluntold is? It's kind of how I got in this position.
That's my greatest
goal. Yes. Yeah, and Dad stepped along right side of you and said, yeah, she will preach. And I was like, yes, I will, actually. So, but anyway, let's go right into 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Yes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Right there, the first new words, behold, he is a new creation if he is in Christ. That is what I'm preaching on today. That is what I want to expound on, is being a new creation in Christ, is what he calls us. And from that, just reading that, there's kind of three points that first come to my mind. There are questions. What does it cost is the first one. What does it mean, and how do we walk it out? So those are the three things that come to my mind when I hear new creation, is what does it actually mean, how do I get it, and how do I do it? And so we're going to turn to Ephesians 2. I'm going to have Dad, can you just go ahead and read the whole chapter for me? Yeah.
And you have... What? Oh, Eliza's talking to me.
Oh.
Here we go. We're going to start over. And you have quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, and you had no hope, and you were without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy, and came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. You are fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together and grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Okay, thank you. I want to make a quick connection before I move on. When Paul is writing in Corinthians, it's at the beginning of his ministry, and when he's writing Ephesians, we're pretty sure it's at the end of his ministry, so there's probably, maybe 20-year gap in between writing these two books, and they're about the same thing. Paul's talking about a new creation, that when we enter into Christ, we become a new man, and so he starts that in the beginning of his ministry and in the end of his ministry, reading both of those, and the church of Corinth, they were Jews. Their bloodline was Jewish, and so they were already part of the. They were already part of Jesus. They were already part of the new the new gospel of what Jesus brought. And the church of Ephesus, they were Gentiles, so they were non-Jewish. They were uncircumcised. They didn't have any Jewish bloodline. They were lost to hope. They didn't go through the Red Sea. They didn't go through any of that in the Old Testament. They had none of that. And so this is kind of two different ideas that Paul is writing to. And, you know, one he's just learning about, and he's writing to them. He's like, I just discovered this. Like, let me express it to you. And now, 20 years later, he's explaining this again to the church of Ephesus and saying, you don't understand this because you're not Jews, but I'm going to explain it to you in a plain and simple way. And so I just want to make that quick connection. And then, so that was a lot there, but I want to go circle back to verse 4. I'm going to read to verse 8. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. So this first point, what does it cost? Nothing. It costs us nothing to reach this great immeasurable grace, this great immeasurable goodness of God. It doesn't cost us anything to receive that, to receive the new life that he's talking about, that we were dead, we were lost without hope, we weren't going to make it into heaven, we weren't going to get to know Jesus, but because he loved us so much, we can enter into a new person because he gave it to us for free, and so because we can't do it on our own. And just talking about this reminds me of a story in Luke. Jesus is with his disciples. He's talking to some Pharisees. And there's this rich young ruler, and he comes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, how can we be saved? How do we get to heaven? And Jesus says, well, you know, he lists the 10 commandments. He says, you got to do this and this, and then sell everything you have and come follow me. And the rich young ruler's like, wow, that's a lot. I don't know if I can do that, God. Like, that's a lot to give up, and that's a lot for me to do that I can't do. And so Jesus is like, exactly. What is impossible with a man is possible with God. So although we cannot fulfill the commandments, although we cannot fulfill the law, Christ can. Christ did. He fulfilled the law, and he is giving it to us with open arms, saying, take this gift and use it. Don't just look at it and say, oh, what a pretty gift, but say, no, I am now a new creation in Christ. I received this free gift of God. And, yeah, it's a gift. You can't earn it. And so, you know, we try to work for so many things, especially in the American culture. It's you start low and you get your job, you earn money, and then you can build up into, you know, a nice house and a family one day. And that's not the way it is with Christ. As soon as you say yes to him, as soon as you accept him into your life, he comes inside of you, and you go in him, and you become one with Christ. And you become a new creation, a new man. You receive the gift, and you go into this new light, and you say, thank you, Jesus. Wow. Yeah, you just receive his work, what he did for us. We can now walk in as a new creation. And then I'm going to go to my second point. What does it mean? I would say to know what it means, we have to know what happened. And so in the Garden of Eden, when God first created the world, he first created mankind, God would come down and walk in the Garden of Eden. He would walk alongside Adam and Eve, and they would talk. They would talk all day with God, and they would just be with God. They would have fellowship with the Lord. And then when Adam and Eve sinned, it broke that fellowship, and they couldn't talk with God because God was holy, and now they were not. So they could not walk with God anymore. They had to be kicked out of the garden. They had to be separated from God. And so, you know, for these thousands of years until Jesus comes back, there's this tension between God and man where they cannot communicate. They cannot have much connection because God's up here and they're down here now because they chose to sin. But if we go back to 2 Corinthians 2, and we move on from 17 and we go into verse 18, it says, all this from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And then just stopping there, Jesus, when he came down from heaven, when he gave up his throne and came and walked on the earth and lived a perfect life, fulfilling the law, and then died, he He restored our relationship with Christ. He restored our relationship with God. And so now, for us, we get to go. We get to go talk with God. We get to live how it was in the garden. We get to do what Adam and Eve did, where they walked and talked with God. And if you would like to turn with me into Hebrews 4, 16. It says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in the time of need. More plainly stated, we can go and hang out with God. I think for me, this is like the main point of everything that I've been learning, as, you know, this is kind of just an overflow, this new creation. So as I'm learning, we can just go hang out with God. We can live life with God. We can just do simple things with God. And it's not some great experience. It's not some, you know, you come to church, you know, for 2 hours on a Sunday and you hang out with God. It's no, I get to hang out with God, you know, Monday through Sunday. Like, I get to hang out with God every day, all day. I get to be with Him. I get to be in His presence. And it's nothing super great or super awesome. And I don't get this awesome experience. I get to be with God. Like, it's that simple. It's that easy. I mean, me and Dad, we were just talking in the living room the other day. Literally just chit-chat, not much. And it was like, that's what it's like with God. Like, you just get to be with Him. Like, there's nothing great and there's nothing, you know, small. It's like, you just get to be with Him and flow with Him in that. And another, what does it mean? Since we get to be with God, that means our identity is changed into not no longer a sinful man, but a righteous man. Blinking out on where it says this, I think it's in Hebrews, where it says, Christ became sin who knew no sin, and we became righteousness who knew no righteousness. We didn't know how to be righteous. We didn't know how to fulfill the law. We didn't know how to do good works. And so Christ came, He did that for us, and so that we could experience this new gift, this new life in Him, that we get to walk out as a new creation, as a new being that, okay, I did things that were not right. I'm still doing things that are not right, but that still makes me a new creation. That doesn't matter. Like, you're still holy as you are. Like, you're still holy right now, as much as you were maybe working the other day, cussing up a storm because your job app was terrible. Like, you're still holy. Like, that is the new creation. That's living life with God. It doesn't matter what you do, but it's receiving that gift, and that is my identity. That is where my identity is found, because it's found in something greater than this world. So it doesn't matter what I do here, because that's not where my identity is. So it cannot be attacked, because when it's in the world, it gets attacked. But when it's in God, it can't. Nothing can stand against Him. And going into that a little bit more, what helped me understand that is what helped me understand putting my identity in Christ, in this new man, was I heard a story one time. So there's two guys. One guy, he was an older guy. He already did a lot with his life, but he enjoyed acting. It was a side career for him to go into acting. And he was just something on the side, didn't mean that much to him, but he just wanted to do it. And so, and then there was this another guy who, he was young, ambitious, and acting was everything to him. He put his whole, you know, his whole life into acting. Like, that was who he was acting. And so they both auditioned for the same role, and neither of them got it. The one guy, the older guy, it was fine. He moved on with his life. There was nothing. He's like, all right, didn't get it. I'm going to keep moving on. The other guy was absolutely devastated. He couldn't move on because acting was his life. Acting was who he was. And after that was attacked, after that was taken away from him, he was crushed and he wasn't able to move on. And so that kind of puts in my perspective of, wow, where's my identity founded in? Is it something that can be taken away in this world, that the enemy can come and steal at any point? Or is my whole identity and my whole life founded in Christ? And my whole identity founded in who God is versus who I am, founded in what Jesus did for me versus what I'm doing for God. What is my identity founded in? And so, yeah, I'm sorry. I keep looking at Patty and I get distracted. But, yes. Whoa. Good? Yes. Okay. So, yes, our identity cannot be in what we're doing, but in what God has already done for us and what he's given us for us to receive. So, yeah. Just gotta bear with me for a hot sec. Okay. But yeah, I think that second point, what does it mean, can be really simplified into you get, what does it mean? The answer is you get to hang out with God. I think that's very simple. It's not some great thing, great experience that you get, but it's I just get to be with God, and that is a precious moment that we have. And so that kind of leads into how do we walk it out? What does being with God look like? And I kind of talked about this a little bit. It's just hanging out with God. It's living life with God. It's raising children with God. It's, you know, parenting with God. It's, you know, having friendships with God. It's just going on with the Lord and working as if he is right beside you. And so it's going on with that mindset now of it doesn't matter what I do because Christ is still right beside me, moving alongside of me. And so how does that look like? What does that look like in real life? How do we see that? How do we know that? How do we know that we're living in the new creation as a new creature in Christ? And I want to go to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be tossed and thrown like children and carried about by the waves of every kind of doctrine and by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So how do we walk it out? You have to grow into it. It's not something that you are becoming. It's like, oh, I'm becoming a new creation. No, you are a new creation. But when you receive the grace of God, when you become a new creation, you have growth to do. And he says right here that Christ, when he came, he made you a new creation, but he also equipped you with things to go out and do more, to go out and preach the gospel, to go out and just be a friend to someone and let them know that they are also, if they come into Christ, are a new creation as well. And so there's more than just, oh yeah, I'm a new creation, like, yay, and then moving on. It's like, no, you are given responsibility as you become a new creation in Christ. And there's growth that needs to happen in that. I mean, Paul says it right here, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We are to grow up into Christ. We are to, as we grow in the Lord, as we grow in the Spirit, we are to move into something more like Christ. Our character, who we are, is shaped into more of one like Christ. And, you know, we start off kind of as like a little child, just in real life. As we, you know, come into the world as little babies, then we grow up into mature men or women. That is what we do. And so the same thing in the spirit, in the sense is we start young, receiving the gift of Christ, and we can grow up into it, into mature manhood, is what Paul is saying right here. And he says you cannot get to that point unless you have others around you, unless you have other people around you, other brothers and sisters around you, kind of correcting you, encouraging you, just being with you, living life with you, and, you know, shaping you with them as you are also shaping them, then you can grow up. But you cannot do it by yourself. You cannot do it on your own as an individual. You need those other people around you to sharpen you. You need the community of believers around you. And with that community of believers in Christ, you will find everything you need, everything you need to live out a godly life, everything you need to go out into this world, be the sheep among the wolves, everything you need for that is found in Christ. And when you come together as a body, that's when you really see Christ working as a whole, because although we can represent Christ as one, it is more, it's better represented when we all come together and we all work together. It's like, wow, I see Christ in everyone working together. I see a more beautiful picture of who God is. And that's who we represent. And yeah, and so in Christ we find everything we need. And if, I'm not going to go to it, but if you went to Ephesians 1, it would, it says a lot, in Christ you have this, in Christ you have this, in Christ you are this. And it basically just says, in Christ you have everything you need, that you do not need to go looking for something else, but in Christ you have everything you need to come into this mature manhood, to be able to have your discernment sharpened, to discern the things of this world that may come against you. So, if you, I don't know, if you're in Ephesians, if you want to go back to 2 Corinthians 17. Just kidding. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is no longer... Oh, let me restart. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As new creatures in Christ, we are called to be Jesus to those around us. But we have to first have that mindset of, I am a new creation, so it doesn't matter what I say, it doesn't matter what I think or what I do, because I know Christ has already saved me. The grace of God abounds greater in my life than anything else. When walking out with that truth, walking out with that identity in Christ, you can then let others know that they too in Christ can be saved. That all their shame, that they, the guilt that they feel, the kind of bad feeling that they get whenever they do something, but they just keep running back to it, that that can be changed. That they can be somebody else, somebody greater than that, because Jesus has come to this world to save them out of that darkness, out of that hope deferred, when they have no hope, and they're like, I'm just stuck living this horrible life. I'm stuck living this sinful life. You can say, no, you have hope in Christ. And being a friend to them and just being Jesus to them. And that is our calling as a new creature in Christ. So, again, it was a rather short one today, but the 3 points. You know, if you want to stand, go ahead real quick. But 3 points of what I pointed out is, what does it cost? It doesn't cost anything. It's free. Number two, what does it mean? It means you get to hang out with God. Again, I think this is the most important one. You get to be with God. And number three, how do we walk it out? You just got to grow into it. follow the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word of truth. God, I thank you that you are working in each and every one of us, and that your grace abounds so much in each and every one of us. Lord, you say in your word that to each gift that is given to us, so is a measure of grace. That as we carry out what God you are telling us to do, as we carry out being a new creation, as we carry out these things, your grace still abounds in us. Your life still abounds in us. And I pray that we follow your word, God, and that we get to hang out with you, and we be with you not just on Sunday mornings, or not just on Wednesday nights, or just, you know, for an hour every morning, but God, we get to be with you every day of our life. You know, every hour, every second, we get to hang out with God. We get to simply be with God. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our church. I thank you so much for the body of Christ that I get to be a part of. Thank you, Jesus, and bless this rest of our time. In Jesus' name, amen.